Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivaradhari.
Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivaradhari.
Yashoda Nandana Brajajala Randana. Namunatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajana Randana. Yamuna Tira Vandachari. Shri Ramana Ashtaka Ki Jai, the Baba Ki Jai. More volume?
Little more volume as possible.
Can't hear very much. Testing. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare. Okay, why not? Pretty good. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's Canto 4, Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Puranjana. Puranjana. And it's text 22. And we're hearing all about the body as an analogy, a garden. We're hearing about the garden, a garden, a nice garden, as an analogy of the body. And in that garden, Maharaj Puranjana, he finds a very nice girl with a snake with five heads and 10 servants with many wives. And today, Sunasam Sudatim Balam. You got it there? Sukapolam Varana Varana Sukapolam Varananam. Sukapolam Varananam. Sama vinashtya karnabhyam bibratim kundala shriyam. Bolo. Chant. Kanta. Yeah. Boliye. Sunasam sudatim balam sukapolam varananam. Samavinasta karnabhyam bibratim kundalam shriyam sunasam sudatam balam sukapolam parananam. Sama Sivnasa Karnabhyam Bibratim Kundalam Shriyam Sunasam Sudatam Balam Sukapolam Varananam Sama Vinasta Karnabhyam Vibratim Shlagalam Shriyam Shriyam Kundalam Sunasam Sudatim Balam Sukapolam Varananam Samavinashastakarnam Vibratim Kundalam Shriyam. Sunashtam Sudatim Balam. Sukapolam Varananam. Namatiza Sudam Babiam. Vibratim Sudam Kundalam. Sunasam. Very beautiful nose. Sudatim. Very beautiful teeth. Balam. This young woman. Sukapalam. Nice forehead. Vara. Ananam. Beautiful face. Sama. Equally. Vinyasta. Arranged. Karnabhya. Both ears. Vibratim. Dazzling. Kundala Shriyam. Having beautiful earrings. The woman's nose, teeth, and forehead were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful, and they were bedecked with dazzling earrings. The body of intelligence enjoys the objects of sense gratification that cover it, such as smell, vision, and hearing. The word sunasam, beautiful nose, indicates the organ for acquiring knowledge by smell. Similarly, the mouth is the instrument for acquiring knowledge by taste, for by chewing an object and touching it with the tongue, we can understand its taste. The word sukapolam, nice forehead, indicates a clear brain, capable of understanding things as they are. By intelligence, one can set things in order. The earrings set upon the two ears are placed by the work of intelligence. Thus the ways of acquiring knowledge are described metaphorically. Pisanganivim shushronim shamam kanakan mekalam padyam ka kvanabhyam kalantim nupurayar divatam iva. The waist, hips, and hips of the woman were very beautiful. She was dressed in a yellow sari with a golden belt. While she walked here, her ankle bells rang. She appeared exactly like a denizen of the heavens. Purport. Om. This verse expresses the joyfulness of the mind upon seeing a woman with raised hips and breasts, dressed in an attractive sari and bedecked with ornaments. God. Translation 24. With the end of her sari, the woman was trying to cover her breasts, which were equally round and well-placed side by side. That's good. She again tried to cover them out of shyness while she walked exactly like a great elephant. It's a very shy, great elephant. With breasts placed side by side. The two breasts represent attachment and envy. The symptoms of raga and dvesha, attachment and envy, as described in the Bhagavad Gita 3:34. Okay, here we go. Indriyasyarte raga dvesha vyabhastitau tayorna vasam agachet tauhyasya paripantinau. Attraction and repulsion for sense objects are felt by embodied beings, but one should not fall under the control of senses and sense objects, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. End quote. These representations of attachment and envy are very much unfavorable for advancement in the spiritual life. One should not be attracted by the breasts of young women. The great Saint Shankaracharya has described the breasts of women, especially young women, as nothing but a combination of muscles and blood. So one should not be attracted by illusory energy of raised breasts and nipples. They are agents of maya to attract and victimize the opposite sex. Ha ha. Because the breasts are equally attractive, they are described as samavrittau. The sex impulse remains in an old man's heart also, even up to the point of death. To be rid of such agitation, one must be very advanced in spiritual consciousness. Like Jamuna Acharya, who said, Yad avadi mama cheta krishna padaravinde nava nava rasadaman ni udyatam rantum asit tadavadi bata nari sangame is mariamane babati mukha vikara shushustu nishti vananja. Since I have been engaged in transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him, when I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thoughts, and my lips curl with distaste. My first temple president, Bhaktadas, he was, like many of us, he joined ISKCON when he was like, you know, young, 18, 19, 20, 22 years old. So he read this, and he decided he was going to do the same thing. That whenever he thought of sex life, he would turn his head and spit. But after the first 2 hours, he had no more saliva left. Maybe 3 hours, 4 hours, I don't know. So he gave up. When one is spiritually advanced, he can no longer be attracted to the lumps of flesh and blood, which are the breasts of young women. The word nirantarao is significant because all of the breasts are situated in different locations. The action is the same. We should not make any distinction between attachment and envy. As described in Bhagavad Gita, they are both products of Rajagun. Kamesha Krodesha Rajaguna Samudbhava. The word niguhantim, trying to cover, indicates that even if one is tainted by Kama, Loba, Kroda, etc., they can be transfigured by Krishna consciousness. In other words, one can utilize Kama, lust, for serving Krishna. Being impelled by lust, an ordinary worker will work day and night. Similarly, a devotee can work hard day and night to satisfy Krishna. Just as karmis are working hard to satisfy Kama Krodha, a devotee should work in the same way to satisfy Krishna. Similarly, Krodha anger can be used in the service of Krishna when it is applied to the non-devotee demons. Hanumanji applied his anger in this way. He was a great devotee of Ramachandra, and he utilized his anger to set fire to the kingdom of Ravana, a non-devotee demon. Thus, kama, lust, can be utilized to satisfy Krishna, and krodha, anger, can be used to punish the demons. When both are used for Krishna's service, they lose their material significance and become spiritually important. Jai, public key. Any comments? Questions? Complaints? Yeah.
Yesterday, you found.
Oh, yeah?
Jealousy?
Yeah.
Being someone wants something that someone else has.
Yeah.
And envy was that you wanted to kill that person.
Yeah, that's what someone told me one time.
Okay, so I'm.
On Vidi. Vidi means life.
Yeah. So I was trying to apply that to. One being attachment, the other one envy.
Yeah. I'm not qualified to talk in great detail about this and everything else, you know. But this is in the spiritual world, everything is perverted. You know, it's the exact opposite of what it is here. So material consciousness, the ultimate attraction, is man for woman, woman for man. And Prabhupada, I'm not really quoting one verse, where Prabhupada says, you know, this is. It's the same for man or woman. You know, either. Prabhupada says when we talk about men, of course, one letter says, of course, it's the exact opposite for women, you know, like that. You know? There's one experiment in psychology, and there's a very bucolic scene. It means a country scene. It's a big picture, and it's harvest time, and people are cutting the wheat and the oats and the hay and stacking them up, and there are animals there, and you know, fruits and all these people, there are all kinds of things like that. So you put a little drop of mercury on someone's eye and it stays one place, and then you shine a light on it and it reflects off. And so then you can see where they're looking like that in terms of life orientation. So sure enough, when you show this picture to men, the first thing they focus on is, you know, the very large round breasts of a country girl like that, you know. But what is the first thing ladies focus on? No. The big, broad, ample shoulders of the work of the country man. Oh, what big, broad shoulders he has. Like that. Yeah. So everybody has their particular interest, attachment towards the opposite sex. You know, for women it's one thing, for men it's another thing. So, you know, then in spiritual life, Prabhupada says the breasts of the gopis are always auspicious, right? Because this represents service to Krishna. In this case, it's attachment to service to Krishna, right? It's anger for those who are, you know, disturbing the service to Krishna. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I don't even want to hear the name Chandravali. Right? She's Radharani's cousin, but she has a different humor in serving Krishna from Radharani, like that, right? Not even just a, you know, not even opposed to serving Krishna, but a different humor, like that. So in this level, their attachment is so intense to serving Krishna that even a little bit of change in the music, the note, you know, a human being can hear a half cycle change in frequency at 2,000 cycles per second. If you go from 2,000 to 2,001 half, a human being, ordinary human being, can hear that change, right? So it's the change in humor. If somebody's singing off key, everybody's like, because it's all a reflection of rasa. You know? So then Radharani and the gopis, they're so attached to serving Krishna, you know, as represented by their beautiful breasts, you know, that when even a little bit change in humor, you know, Radharani is hot-tempered, contrary, expressive, you know, lover. And Chandravali is, you know, mild-tempered, and when Krishna is cruel to her, she just, you know, looks down at the ground and scratches the ground with her feet, but Radharani doesn't do that. It's right in this case. You know? Yeah. So, you know, there's these, even that level, there's these differences. And in the material world, it becomes a perverted reflection of not how much I can serve Krishna, but how much I can exploit the representation of Krishna. Right? My husband is a representation of Krishna. How much can I exploit him? You know? How much can I make him work? You know? You know, two cars are not enough. We need three cars, right? No? Yeah, this is, ordinary girl won't be satisfied with less than two or three dozen saris. How many saris do you have? Phillips is right here. Okay. You're not an ordinary person. So. I was an ordinary girl, you know, lady, you know, she has to have at least two or three dozen saris, or, you know, two or three dozen dresses in her closet, 24 or 36 different dresses in the closet, like that. You know? So on. So again, we're saying this is the inclination of female body is more towards rajagun and tamagun. You know? And you can see things like that. If you look at, not everybody, but generally speaking, then a man maybe has like, you know, two suits or something like that, or three maybe, you know, like that. But the lady has so many different kinds of dresses like that, you know. And one Mataji was saying, yes, because she has to express herself. Well, yeah, that's, women express themselves in the material field. The material field is the mode of ignorance. And the mind, with desire for prestige, society, all these civilized things, is the mode of passion. You know, the cotillion, a very big, you know, my daughter's coming out party. You know, maybe it's something in India. But in the West, what it means is that she's like, you know, 16 years old now, and now she's going to be presented to society. So it's a very formal, you know, function, and the best of people are invited, and the best of refreshments, and cars, and everything else like that. And, you know, and then she comes, and something is presented, and dances with her father, or something like that. And after that, you know, so, you know, it's very, this is passion. You know, and in goodness, you just see things as they are. The reflection of the material world is, you know, is, as it is. Chanika Pandit says that a man in the mode of ignorance, a man in the mode of ignorance, when he sees a woman, sees a hunk of meat like that, you know, something, gross physical enjoyment, you know, yes, nothing like that. Man in the mode of goodness just sees the interaction of the modes of nature, in the material nature, like it's a reflection of the spiritual world, like that. And then in the person in the mode of, well, only a man in the mode of passion actually sees a woman. You know? I read that, and about 2 days later I was on Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley, and there was one guy who was coming to the temple, and he was really, you know, tamasic person. He was had all kinds of problems in his body. He was in a motorized wheelchair and all this stuff like that. It's karma. So I was just saying hello to him on the street because he was coming to the temple, and said, hello, how's it going, this and that. And one attractive girl walked by, as he walked by, and he said, hey, what a good-looking hunk of meat. I was like, wow. It's just what I was reading like that, you know. You know? So everybody, you know, every opposite sex, they look at each other that way. Men and women, the mode of ignorance. There are also women in the mode of ignorance, right? Drinking and smoking and, you know, looking at things the same way. You know, their dogs also have their view of people, right? Smell them, you know. You know. Have to distinguish people and what's going on, right? Yeah. So as you go down the modes of nature, we get more and more in the... There's five kinds of ways of perceiving the physical world. Hearing it. What? Hearing it, feeling it, seeing it, tasting it, and smelling it. Yeah. And, you know, and each one is a subset of... sort of subset, grosser and grosser subset. So finally, you smell it, everything else is there. You can say, for example, well, that's a very sour smell. Sour is a taste, but the smell includes that, right? You know. Or where's it coming from? You know, so space is there, like that. Yeah, like that. Yeah. Or it's a very, very bright perfume you're wearing, like that. You can smell it. It's very, like that. You know. So everything is there in smell. You know, on down like that. But here is talking about it. Here is talking about somebody in the mode of passion, right? For the most part, because he's seeing the opposite, member of the opposite sex, and that's how he's being stimulated by seeing. You know? It's mostly the mode of passion. It's not a matter of smelling. In fact, you know? Seeing. In a mode of goodness, how are we stimulated by the opposite sex? More in the mode of goodness. By which sense organ? Mode of passion, more by seeing. Mode of ignorance, by hearing. Prabhupada says that if a girl has a sweet voice, in a nice face, she's a natural trap for a man. You know, he says, cinema stars, they look beautiful and they can sing nicely. They draw, you know, unimaginable salaries just because of these two things, because they can sing nice and they have a pretty face. Their nose is in the right place, and their eyes are like that. Yeah. So it's all, you know, when you're drawing cartoon characters, if you make the eyebrows like this, he looks angry. If you make him like this, he looks like surprised. You know, the mouth has a little function. This, you know, down is this way and up is smiling. But basically, practically speaking, is this, you can see how just by changing the position of things, like a sharp nose or a round nose, it changes the whole character. Actually, in the Vedas, this is called Samudrik Shastra, physiognomy. And Kapolam, you look at somebody's forehead, you can read their forehead. There's a phrase in Bengal, it doesn't matter where you go, you take your forehead with you. Because you have your karma, right? Like that. So Rupanuga, our Ayurvedic doctor and devotee down there, very nice. He comes from the professor and things like that. So he's really been studying all these things very much and good books. So in Peru, they're just having the elections. And what they do is everybody has like these big blow-ups of themselves. They're all dressed in working man clothes. And usually it's a man and a woman smiling and saying, peace, prosperity, and plenty, friendship. It's all these stupid slogans. And a lot of them, maybe 50 candidates for president, what to speak of all the congressmen and everything else like that. I don't know who won. So we were driving, and he's like doing the analysis of each of these people like that from their physiognomy. One guy, he talks about it, you can look at it, it's kind of like this. Like you can see like very pointy eyes and everything else. This guy is basically like a wolf. he's out there just to use violent, hungry wolf, to use violence to get the position, and he's going to exploit it to fill his belly, like that, so on. Then somebody else came along, he said, this guy's basically a good guy. He's basically intelligent and basically honest about things. He's an enjoyer. But he likes to spread his enjoyment around like that, to share his enjoyment, like that. And then finally, the lady who's most likely to become candidate, he said, you can just see her eyes, she's completely uncontrolled. Her eyes are like this, like that. There's so much energy in her body just coming out, she just can't control herself like that, so on. So I told him, you should go on television and all this and become completely unpopular with the whole world in a matter of 15 minutes. All right. It's good. Talking. So these things, again, they're mechanical. We're talking about the reaction. Prabhupada's talking about the reaction of the body, right? Female body reacts to male body. Male body reacts to female body. and the gross body and the subtle body. And the subtle body is also designed a certain way. And because we want to be carried away by the waves of sense gratification. You know, our position is to be servant. You know, but we want to be served by the material nature. You know, it was when one song by Leonard Cohen called "The Gambler." I remember this. It says, you know, because you're playing games of chance, poker. If you have five of the same color, it's one thing, or you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is one thing. So there's something called a wild card. Like maybe the twos are wild. It can be anything you want it to be like that. So the song says he's looking for that car that is so high and wild he'll never have to deal another like that. So we're looking for material life. Is that drug or that food or that sexual experience or something? It's just such and so intense that we'll never have to struggle again for sense gratification. We'll have the ultimate sense gratification that never ends and it's just forever like that. Yeah? So Prabhupada says we want to be carried away by the waves of sense gratification. We're looking for that. Yeah? And so, in material life, we look for a body. Well, this body really responds to that. This body responds to that. Well, give me that body. Yeah? All you got to do is pull the trigger. What's that? A 457 Magnum. Like that. Just squeeze the trigger. But you go back to the wall like that. Yeah, that's a gun. Yeah. But that's what we're looking for. It's just... When black dude was singing this song, it was in the bar, it was really good. I feel like all these things said, brothers and sisters, anybody ever do this? And people go, yeah, I done that, right on. It was nice. And finally came and said, has anybody here ever taken the long chance? Yeah, I took the long chance. Okay, everything, my life, my future, my brothers, my kingdom, on the next roll of dice, here it goes. So risk, gambling is intoxicating. Like that. He had a Rupa knew this, but another time he did the same thing with his physiognomy. And he had like politicians, and he had like one, she'd been Miss Peru, Miss Peru, like that, Miss Universe, Miss America, Miss Peru. And he was pointing out things like that, and her eyes were like completely hard, like diamonds, like controlling, like that, And he said, this is her nature, that any man she comes in, her idea is this, this complete domination, control, like that, no freedom. And he said, some men are looking for a woman like this, to grab them like this. But it's all just the physiognomy is because you want a certain kind of body, you want a certain kind of nose, you want a certain kind of ears. Krishna's there showing you these things like that. Well, like this, like that, Maya's doing it. She's offering these things. Yeah? So why get this big nose? Why have these big ears like that, Because you wanted them like that, Yeah. Because why? Because, why do I have all this bitter food? Because you ate so much sugar that now it tastes good, right? Sweets are nice, right? But after you eat a lot of them, you start feeling bad, and then bitter things taste very nice. Ah, okay, I'll eat some of these with the sweets, and then the sweets will be good after that. So that's why we go to hell. We want to go to hell. You do enough things, and then Yamaraj has an unlimited number of planets under his jurisdiction. As you go down the universe, it gets smaller and smaller. He's like cockroaches, right? There's so many thousands of cockroaches, and they live in the dark, and, But as you go bigger, there's, whales, there's less. So same way, there's only one Brahma, one Brahma Loka, but as you start going down, it gets more and more and more. So Yamaraj has an unlimited number of hellish planets under his jurisdiction, like that. So you do this, you do that, you twist your body this way, then that way, then that way, then this way, and it's all distorted, and your mind's distorted and perverted from what you did, and all these things, and these desires, and that thing, and everything else, it's like, can't do anything. You can't bend it anymore, right? I've tried cocaine, I've tried heroin, I've tried coffee, I've tried sugar, I've tried every single kind of stimulation with my tongue, and there's just nothing left, So, let's go to hell. And then, in hell, Yamaraj, it's like a very bad automobile wreck. The guys bring the car in and dump it off at the auto shop, and the guys look at it, okay, first put it on the frame stretcher, like that. They got this thing. okay, send him off to the, you know, the whatever, you know, and it goes on and on like that. So after about, you know, 2 weeks or whatever, you come out of hell, you know, fit to enjoy again, you know. So it's all relative, you know. Whether it's, Prabhupada says, even in hell there are hellish pleasures, like that. Even in hell there are hellish pleasures. You know? And so he says, therefore, if this impersonal idea of you know, the absolute truth is true, I'd rather be in hell, because at least there's sense gratification in hell. You know, with impersonal ideas, it's like there's nothing. You know, so people go coming and going back and forth. You know? And he was describing the body. The body is attracted, stimulated by the opposite sex. You know?
Beautiful breasts, beautiful hips, beautiful shoulders, and a big mustache. Oh, what a big mustache he has. And such broad shoulders. And such a deep, masculine voice. He talks like that. You know? Oh, who's a lucky girl who can go through life on his arm like that? And he's so intelligent, clever. He can defeat his enemies. You know, so ladies have their own things they're looking for. Usually, I studies in psychology, men think they pick their wives in America. You're going around, you finally decide, this is the girl I'm going to marry. It's not that way. Actually, what happens is the woman figures out, okay, he's the kind of guy I want. For my taste, I don't want a lawyer, I want an engineer. Right? I don't want like a big muscular guy, I want somebody who's really, really clever and tricky. You know? So, yeah. You know? So you find somebody and then, you know, you start, you know, hunting, you know, tracking him down, catch him, like that and so on. And the man thinks, oh, I caught her. You know, but, you know, why is she dawdling within your vision like that, dropping her handkerchief? You know? Oh, you know, oh, my handkerchief? Oh, thank you. Yeah. So everybody has their way of hunting. You know? But any ladies, it's the same thing. You're attracted to them automatically. But it's all just, for the most part, it's the mind and body. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that people want to worship the demigods, right? And I give them the intelligence by which they can do this. I give them firm intelligence. Because we really can't do it. It's not our nature, right? I mentioned this couple, they wanted to have children, so they were good devotees were chanting 50 rounds before, you know, trying to conceive children. It's part of our sangskara. And the devotee told me that it happened three times. The first time they just lost all their passion. They had no desire to have any sexual relations. It was looking at each other like, you know. Some other day. You know. So they tried again, the same thing happened. The third time they tried again, the same thing happened. I think, okay, we just got to do it. have sex. You know. Okay, all right. You know. Yeah. So this is you know, the sangskara. It's contrary to the soul. You know. This is why when children are growing up, in the beginning they're more innocent, right? There's no sex desire. It's very innocent, very natural. You know. And so at that point, when you start to have this sex impulse, it's very embarrassing. Right, it's very confusing. It's very humiliating, right? Because before I was so free and happy, and now I'm starting to become, you know, I'm a slave to this body, you know. So, but they don't teach this in school, right? We, you know, we should be education about what's happening. Sharanagati, our farm in Canada, it's very natural. You can see how when you grow up in nature, it's very very easy to understand things. It's very easy to be in the mode of goodness. There are girls, or I see as young girls, like, you know, 14 years old, 15 years old, instead of becoming very agitated sexually, it's their body. It's when they're supposed to be agitated. They're supposed to be becoming mothers, you know. But maybe they're not going to be married then. But they're growing up with animals, with stallions, with mares, and all these things. And they see these things. Oh, yeah, it's just the animals have these same passions, these things like that, you know. So it's what's happening to me, you know. But I'm not an animal like that, you know. And so then they, you see them, they have their self-respect, their pride, and they control their desires, and then when the right time is there, they have a proper relationship, get married, and have very nice children, you know, and a very nice family, you know, like that, you know? So human being is also, you know, Prabhupada says that ornaments, you know, jewelry, pictures, furniture, he said, this is not spiritual, but it's civilized. This is a human life, you know, and it's good, it's a good platform for coming to the, you know, spiritual platform. You know, the mode of passion has many advantages in that. You know, you know, stay in that and satisfy yourself. Again, probably the same, like, you know, in the modern world, normal in the mode of passion, a husband feels very happy to see his wife in a nice dress.
he can afford to, you know, works hard to buy nice ornaments for his wife, and when she's dressed very nicely with gold earrings and looking very beautifully, and dressed herself very nicely and using the ornaments and dressed very nicely and has very good comportment. And they go, okay, it's Saturday night. So they go to the Plaza de Armas, they call it in Mexico. In Latin American countries, there's a plaza where there's a church on one side and the city hall on the other, and some cannons and, you know, nice gardens. And there's maybe three, four, five different bands playing by different little places and ice cream and stuff like that. So on Saturday night, the thing was everybody would go there and walk around with your wife on your arm, and, you know, you feel very happy how, you know, I'm so happy to be walking with such a fine lady, and my children are very, she's happy, her children are very dressed, have nice haircuts, and they're running around playing, and, you know, they walk and look at each other, and, you know, and the mayor is there, and you say hello to the mayor like that, and he talks to you a little bit and asks how the business is going, and, you know, this is a mode of passion. And then the young boys and girls are looking at each other, and the girls have their fans looking at the boys, you know. And she gives him the look. So he's attracted, you know. So then they go home, and he follows her home with her aunt and her father and mother, and sees where she lives. And he brings his guitar, and he's down below, and he... It's a very common thing, singing songs, and she with her aunt's position comes out and sits in the balcony with her fan like that and listens like that, and like that, you know. So it's all in the mode of passion, you know. But it's better than the mode of ignorance, right? And it's very, in that way, it's very nice. It can be connected to spiritual consciousness. It can be. If you're a little careful, you can connect the whole thing to Krishna consciousness and not get burned by the fire. You can play with fire and not get burned, you know. And that's the art. And so then, you know, then it transforms into the mode of goodness. Yeah? Right? And then you realize, my husband's body is simply a bag of stool, urine, mucus, and blood, decorated with a mustache. That's what Rukmini says, right? Rukmini says this. Right? And simultaneously, the other direction too. Okay. Yeah. Why is it warm? Because there's blood flowing in there. Yeah. Yeah, this is more of, you know, pure goodness. You know, but again, Prabhupada saying this is, you know, this is not practical. If you have children, you can't stay in this platform, right? And you know, my children are just bags of stool, urine, blood. That's why Vyasadeva, if he had to be, in the mode of passion, but he wasn't attached to it. You know, he was. You know, it's all related to Krishna. It's all. You know, also in the mode of goodness, you can also see that you can be in the mode of passion and the mode of goodness. You know? In the mode of goodness, I'm using the mode of passion for this development, these kind of things, and telling my kids, you got to do well in school, you got to go to study this and that and everything else, you know. But I know also too, what for does chant Hare Krishna? Exactly. <No. laughs> Krishna will arrange everything, you know. Yeah. Yeah? So it's very nice. He goes on and on like this, discussing breasts, hips, noses, and I guess, and what happens next? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, next we'll start the courtship. First, he's in the proper place, right? The garden, which represents the different senses of the body, the smell. And being in the proper place, then he encounters the opposite sex, like that, you know. Which not being in an improper place, you know, it won't work. You know, if you're down by the ocean where they're hauling in the fish and cutting the fish guts out, and you see a beautiful woman, it just does not. You know, it's all fish guts everywhere and vomit, and it's like, you know, it's like there's no, you know, attraction, you know. It's a proper environment. This is why, again, you know, brahmacharya ashram, you know, ladies, same thing too. You don't create the proper environment. You know, it's like, you know, what you know, for a lady, they see a man with a full head of hair, nicely combed hair like that. The bald-headed guy with, you know, like that. There's no attraction. No stimulation, right? That, you know? Yeah, there you go. Sika. Yeah, yeah. And on like that, like in a very simple dress, you know, no ornaments in the dress, you know. So this way, the, you know, brahmacharya ashram means live very simply like that. In the same way, a lady, when she goes out in public, she covers her head, she doesn't, you know, keeps her hair braided, you know, rather than, you know, probably says a lady's hair is her crowning glory, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, how many, you know, just beauty salons just for how to arrange the hair, right? In such a way that it'll be, you know, will be beautiful and attractive. There's so many ways to do this. It's wow, so nice, you know.
this way, that way. You know, yeah, different ages. Yeah. So, you know, we avoid, depending on our purpose. If you want to stay in the mode of goodness, you know, then okay, then we create a very simple sattvic environment, and there's no stimulation for these things. Yeah, and then if we, you know, but if we want these things, okay, there's a nice garden, and then you see the opposite sex, and then there's different, you know, stimulation from a distance, like that form, smell, everything else like that. Yeah. And then now, what comes next? Talking. You can see, okay, I'm putting myself in the wrong environment. I'm the seeing the opposite sex, like that, and what a passion. And now, I'm starting to talk with them. You can, you know, the warnings are all there. It's your fault. You got yourself involved in this mess. You knew every step of the way, you know, you were doing this. You know, if you weren't looking to pick up a cheap girlfriend or a cheap boyfriend, why are you in a bar like that? Why are you trying to find your you know, life's love in a bar like that? You know, you can't complain. You got a really low class person. You know? You could also look for a marriage partner in a church, like that. You know, yeah, your choice. You know? So then we're going to talk about it, you know. And what's after that? Talking?
Joking.
That's part of talking. No, that's part of talking. verbal contact, visual contact, verbal contact, physical contact, like that. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's your choice. I was taking pictures for one slideshow one time. And near the Dallas Temple is this really, really, you know, really gross bar. There's like broken bottles outside and vomit, stuff like that. You know, and there's a big mural on the side with this man and this woman dancing and really like lusty, you know, really demoniac. Huh? Yeah, down the street there. I don't know, maybe you change the name. The name changes about every 6 months like that. Somebody else. But it was like, I took a picture of this as like an example of, it was like, you know, Vacho Vega, Manasa Krodha Vega. It was like, you know, lose control of your tongue and your stomach, and it was like, this was like, I first had a picture of a food, then I had a picture of something else like that, you know. And this was like the last picture like that, and it was like gateway to hell. It was like the door was there, and just next to it, I didn't notice it, but there was a payphone just at the door, and somebody would look at it and comment, well, I guess you get one phone call, one last phone call before you go, like that, you know, into hell. Like that. Yeah, but it was obvious. It was a gateway to hell. It was obvious. You know, like look at the thing. You know? So Krishna's not cheating anybody, right? He's not, you know, not just disguising anything. Again and again, if I really want to be cheated, are you sure? I really want to be cheated. Say it one more time. I really want to be cheated. Okay, what can I do? You know, So whatever was happening to us, our karma. You know? And the avasa side to become educated. You know, not just in the brains, but these things touch the heart. You know? Prabhupada's talking about these things. I think this is the fourth canto. It's actually quite advanced. I probably wouldn't, you know, we'd never give this to the Sunday feast lecture. You know? Or like was, you know, we did our school program, we went around to the elementary schools. They wouldn't understand it, but I mean, junior high school, the kids would be scandalized, like, you know, like that. You know? So this fourth canto is quite advanced. And actually, I think it's even more, even heavier than this. Actually, in Prabhupada's purport, this is, you know, even gets more heavy. And in the end, you know, Prabhupada explains everything just like it is about everybody, pretty much. You know, he has certain limits off. He says some things are just not acceptable in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. But in general, he explains everything, you know, about the opposite sex, everything. So in the end, it's all just, you know, it's all a bunch of animals. And you can appreciate it very clearly. There's no, like, you know, secrets, you know, this and that. It's all just what it is. You know? And so then what do we do? You know, it's like, if you don't eat meat, what can you eat? It's like that, you know? It's like that, you know? So if you, you know, if you're not woman hunting, you know, in one way or another, you know, George Bernard Shaw, a very famous witty poet, very intelligent. He probably even quoted him. He was vegetarian. So he was at some big formal dinner, you know, with some, you know, you sit man, woman. And he was a big famous author. He was sitting next to one lady. And he said to her, Madame, do you think you would go off for me? Do you think you might like to go off with me to the country for a weekend for $10,000? She's kind of smiling. Well, maybe, Mr. Shaw.
And he asked her again, do you think you'd like to go off the country with me for $100? She said, what kind of woman do you think I am? And he said, madam, we've already established that. Now we're just haggling over price. Yeah. So it's the same thing. It's a very poetic language. You know, poetic language of how you're looking for a man or looking for a woman. You know, this, that, this and that, this and that. But basically, if it's material consciousness, it's the same thing. It's gross gratification. You know, like that. And so, you know, when you're finished with this, well, what is there? What do? You know, if you're not looking for the opposite sex, you know, then what do? You know, so that's, you know, we have to develop spiritual taste. You know, the original form of the rasa is there. You know, the original form. You know, and we experience that how we're supposed to experience that. Then it's very nice, and we don't become attracted then. And then the gross rasa becomes, like you say, then you just spontaneously. If I say you smell a bad smell, you should turn your head and spit. You know, it works. It clears your, clears the plant. Otherwise, you smell something, it actually contaminates your life airs. Some smell like that, you know. So, you know, just dumps it. You know? So same way, if you have this, you know, these, you know, kind of attractions, everything else, you think this is disgusting. You know, just, you know, get it out. But it could, because you have a higher taste in comparison. If you have no higher taste, then forget it. It's all you know. You know? So therefore, you're going to go for the best rasa you know. Anandamaya Vyasa. It's our nature. You know, so you look for the best rasa you can find. So every day, remembering. Every day, hearing about something higher, getting a higher taste. Every day. You know, and repeatedly during the daytime, right? Repeatedly. And again, it may take some time, you know, to get free from the different conditioning. Have it really penetrate. But at some point, then you just... No, not attractive. Yeah. Quit. Any questions? Comments? Complaints? Final questions? Dos. Uno, dos. No. Indy. Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. One goes after another. Yeah. I think, I'm not sure how the sequence goes. But lust, as far as I understand, when the senses are being used properly, everything just flows right through them to Krishna. You know? And lust means it starts to accumulate, rust. You know, it starts to be friction in the media, and then it starts to build up. You know? That's why a lady's body is more inclined to lust. It means there's more tendency for the consciousness, the chitta, to accumulate in the senses. And you got to be, therefore you have to work harder. Right? Otherwise the tendency is to build up, you know. And then my skin, like that, in the mirror, like that. You know? So then it's very natural then other people, women and men, they look at a woman's body and sense, look, because the consciousness is there, and that's what attracts us. Right? It's much more, that's lust. Right? The consciousness, the chitta, is accumulating in the senses, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, and things like that. When you're using it for Krishna, it goes right through. You know? So if we're working hard, if our senses engage, then there's no lust accumulating in the body. Like that. And there's no matter accumulating in the body also. Ignorance. You know? So somehow or other, while contemplating the objects of the senses, attachment develops. And from attachment, and then the lust comes. You know? And from lust, what? What's after lust? Because you're frustrated. Because you can't satisfy it. You know? With anger. Loss of memory? Well, intelligence is first, right? Yeah, it could be related. Some intelligence is lost, and then you lose your memory of what I am and what's going on, and you fall down. Like that. So that's exactly, you know, how it goes. Yeah, that's it.
Just based on that, I was thinking that in Kali Yuga, you're talking about the differences between women and how things are built up.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking in the prison environment, I see a lot of men.
Yeah.
And what you describe is actually what I see in men.
Yeah,
I see a lot of time with long hair, tattoo, body art, doing a lot of things. And they actually, and I always thought it was strange, they're preparing themselves to look so beautiful for other men.
Yeah. Something like that. Depends. Because again, in the mode of ignorance, it becomes the exact opposite. You know, but see again, it's like, you know, Women are less intelligent. You know, men have bigger mustaches. It's not everybody. You may find women with big mustaches like that. You know, and find men who are complete morons. You know, you find women who are very intelligent, who are very have big mustaches, big muscles. You know, it's just a general tendency. It's just like, you know, horses run faster than cows. Well, oh, I'm insulted. I'm a cow. I'm insulted. Well, no, it's a general thing. So then probably we're going to expect that we're going to find more passion and ignorance in a prison. You know, it's not people who are honest, self-controlled, generous, intelligent. No, it's people who are like lusty, greedy, violent, selfish. You need to feel okay in prison.
You know? In a way, it's its own hell.
Huh?
In a way, it's its own hell.
Yeah. I mean, we create our own. I want to tell you, I remember especially it was a spring day in San Francisco. Kind of, it had been raining and stuff like that, and finally the spring came, and it was like, you know, the flowers are coming out, the sun is shining, it's fresh, and kind of everybody was like out walking around. So I came to one, you know, stop thing, and when car pulled up, and again it was a guy in the car, it was a convertible, but it was like he was driving into a junkyard or something that was kind of smoking, and there was smoke coming out of the hole in the floorboard, and he had a cigarette just smoking, and everybody was blasting away, you know. I was just looking at it, God, he created his own little hell. All around it was so nice, this fresh air, everything was so beautiful, peaceful, so nice, you know. But he created this own little hell, and he was like sitting there, like angry about things, and, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, he's creating it, you know. So same way, you know, we create our own future situation like that. You know, it's like a hell within a hell. You know? And within that, there's also more restrictive levels, no, within the prison, where people act in different ways, they got, you know, yeah. Yeah.
That was one other point. It was how the men may do all these things to make body beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that, you know, there's the attachment.
Yeah.
And but the envy, I was thinking it would apply this way because they can't actualize their desires.
Yeah.
To be female, they actually will do it grossly through other males.
Yeah.
Everybody
wants to be distinguished by the opposite sex, to become famous, this and that. That's a subtle form of the sexual activity. So whether you're making people attracted or repulsed, it's the same way. You know, when I walk in the room, I'm repulsive. You know, I'm big and terrifying. Oh, it's also some reaction. Attachment and repulsion are the same thing. So some people, you know, want to make themselves ugly, ferocious, so that people like other people will be afraid of them and. You know, like that. Oh, he's ferocious. You know, this, you know? And so when they can't do it, then they become envious of somebody else. He's more ferocious looking than I am, and so on. But so it's to relate to anybody, whoever's there, you know, like that. And so there's no association with the opposite sex, and you start getting into, you know, rasa with men, you know, like that. You know, which may be more virya, you know, than madhurya. Madhurya is a sexual relation like that, and virya is this masculinity and showing how you're more macho and, you know, whatever. You know, you see people going around showing their strength and their, you know, these kind of things like that. Yeah? More natural. Yeah? Yeah? Interesting. So, Papa Ki?
Yeah.
Or I guess Mama Ki? Okay. 2 hours and 15 minutes, the next program. You can take this text along with us today. Preach to our new congregational members. Thank God.